Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Honorable respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. And it is with Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab Damat Barakatuhu. The date today is the 23rd of Shawwal. This is in South Africa. Other areas of the world, it is the 24th of Shawwal, 1445. And that is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 3rd of May, 2024. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? All well?
Alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, we still got few days left for this month of Shawwal. What are the events that we should be knowing of?
Jazakum Allah for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. The month of Shawwal being after the month of Ramadan, so one interesting event is this, that when the Muslims, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was departing with Sahaba to Badr, one of the Sahaba who wanted to join was Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. But his blessed wife, now who was his wife? None other than Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha. He was severely ill. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Uthman to take care of her because she was very ill, and Hazrat Uthman, wanting to join but also had this duty, stayed behind. And as the Muslims were victorious in Badr, the news also was came out that Hazrat Ruqayya's illness intensified, and just thereafter she passed on. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu went through this difficulty of losing his wife, and then the news of the victory of Badr also came. So it seems that Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha departed from this world in the month of Shawwal. So I wanted to mention a little bit about her. She was the second daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the eldest being Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. And who wedded her? That was Hazrat Abu al-As radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, second and third, they were wedded to the two daughters, to the two sons of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab and Ummu Jamil were the parents, and their sons, namely Utba and Utayba, had just wedded the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just before the marriage was consummated, and it happened that Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to openly give the message to the people of Makkah, starting with his family. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the Meccans, and he climbed the mountain Safa, and he presented his amazing message, enabling the people to understand the shortness of this life and the reality of the afterlife. He explained to them in no uncertain terms that, like, you would trust me if I were to tell you on the other side of this mountain that you can't see right now from where you are standing, there's an army to arrive to attack you. Would you believe me? Asaddaqtumuni. They said, indeed, you are as-sadiq al-ameen. He says, like, I would never lie to you with regards to the arrival of an army. I'm not lying to you. After this life, it is serious. There's an afterlife that we have to prepare for. Like, if an army was coming to attack us, by the morning, ya sabaha, you would all make some preparations. You would exert yourself in getting ready to defend yourselves. In the same way, the afterlife is a reality, and it is true, and we have to make preparations for it. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained himself clearly. Abu Lahab then tried to insult Allah's Nabi in public. That is this what you gathering us for? Tabbat, tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm. Woe to you, may destruction befall you this entire day. And angrily he goes home and he mentions this to his wife. Now his wife Ummu Jamil had hated Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. Hazrat Khadija was pure and innocent, but Ummu Jamil had rancor and hatred in her heart. She detested Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and she disliked the fact that Hazrat Khadija devoted her life, her wealth, her position, all she had for Allah's deen, in supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the cause of Islam. So in that, her anger and hatred knew no bounds. So the couple then heard the chapter of the Quran was revealed from Allah. This is an early Meccan revealed chapter. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. Woe and destruction is the lot of Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada. May his hands be in loss. And he completely is a loser. What he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah brought worse than that back to him. May he be in loss and destruction. Tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab. Allah says, whatever his hands possess and whatever he owns will never avail him. Whatever he has will never avail him. And then Quran disgraces him and exposes his wife of her miserliness nature and her nature of spreading false rumors and carrying tales. حمالت الحطب في her Quran disgraces her of her miserliness, how she would bring the firewood with her own hands and not wanting to spend on others, and also her way, her dirty way of spreading lies and rumors against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha due to her dirty heart, the dirty heart of Ummu Jamil. She was so upset. They called their sons. Abu Lahab said, you better now, otherwise I want nothing to do with you. Divorce the daughters of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and both of them. Utba divorced his wife, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Utayba went further. He disgracefully brought the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back. But Allah's Nabi took it as an honor, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he insulted Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by spitting on his Mubarak face. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Allah, you see what he does. Allah, you sought him out with one of your wild creatures. Allahumma sallit alayhi kalbam min kilabik. And it happened later on, some years later, when he traveled with his father and they were passing the Jordan region in an area called Zarqa. And Utayba was worried because he remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. And Abu Lahab also was quite concerned. So his son Utayba was to sit in the center of the caravan of everyone else, to sleep there on top of the heap of the goods. And a lion came at night trying to smell and sense everyone. And then it found him and severed and ripped his head out of his body. This was the repercussion of his disrespect to the cause of deen and the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anyway, Hazrat Ruqayya and Hazrat Umm Kulthum came back home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam treated them with the greatest of kindness. He treated his children with akhlaq and character. Hazrat Baraka Umm Ayman would say that when I would bring the news of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his daughter's birth, I was shocked. He would make so much of shukr to Allah that Allah blessed him with children. And this is the teaching of Islam. When Allah has blessed us with sons and daughters, we have to appreciate this gift of Allah, and this is an amana and a responsibility. We have to be careful, respected parents. There is this bill that are being passed, and it's just passed the Bella bill. We have to be wary what they are to teach our children and indoctrinate the minds of our children. What they are saying, that the government and the school has full authority and liberty, even more than the parents, as to what is taught to the children. And they want to, from a tender age of 3 and 4, already want to get these children, already indoctrinate the minds of these children concerning promiscuity and adultery and all sorts of filth like incest. And all these kinds of things. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah protect Ameen. Our children. That's why very, very importantly, the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes, so important. And to the best of our ability, homeschooling. Prioritizing the teachings of Quran for our children. Start the halaqa of Quran from the morning. Us and our children should learn. And lovingly create an amazing environment for them, and take the du'as of the righteous and the pious. Do the halaqa of ta'aleem, do the halaqa of Quran for our children in the homes. This will protect their iman. Otherwise, Allah save our children from being maimed and tarnished and indoctrinated with all the sorts of filth. And this makes dua for the non-Muslim children, because many of the parents don't know that this is what's going on. And also we should educate other children's parents so they also can get closer to Islam, encourage them to encourage their children to and themselves to read a translation of the Quran-i Kareem, and this will be the means of the hidayah of those non-Muslims. How Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make tarbiyat of his children. Allah's will, his daughter, his sons passed away in their infancy, but his four daughters grew, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made their tarbiyah, as well as Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha making their tarbiyah. Something interesting happened thereafter. When Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha was divorced, and Hazrat Uthman heard about Islam from his aunt, Su'ada bint Qurayz. His aunt told him about the beauty of Islam. And she said to him, that you're a wise man, Uthman. Islam is the truth. He then had a meeting with Hazrat Abu Bakr. And then he asked Hazrat Abu Bakr after a business transaction. He said, you know, this is what my aunt is saying. Guide me. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, your aunt gave you the best counsel. Oh, Uthman, how true it is. We intelligent people, how can we worship what we manufacture with our own hands? And we denounce the Allah who made us. Think about it, Uthman. Use your sense. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true. What he has brought is correct. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu offered Uthman radiallahu anhu, come, I'll take you to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Abu Bakr brought Hazrat Uthman to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn from your respected businessman? You're doing a business transaction in your office, in your company. You're doing a deal with a Muslim or a non-Muslim. It is the time of prayer. Halt and stop. Say to the rep or say to the company, that you know what, now I have a special appointment. This appointment can never be delayed or deferred. I have to go. He says, but what do you mean? Where are you going? This is such an important deal. He says, this is my appointment with my creator. Why don't you join me? And he says, and make the deal sweet for him also. Tell him I'll take you for lunch thereafter. Encourage him. If he's a Muslim, inshallah he'll come. If he's a non-Muslim, inshallah he'll come. Bring him to the masjid. Give him a chair. Show him how we perform the wudu. Show him how amazing is the prayer. Invite him. Encourage him. Hazrat Uthman heard the dawah from his aunt, but he was reluctant. He was worried. He was concerned. Who made it easy for him? None other than Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, don't worry. I will take you. Come with me. And Hazrat Abu Bakr introduces him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and opens his way and brings him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Non-Muslims are thirsty. They're looking, but they're scared. Shaitan builds barriers between them and Islam. Shaitan hinders them from accepting the truth. What we should do is make it easy for them. Come, brother, I'll take you. Come, I'll show you how easy it is. Pick him up, put him in your car, take him to the masjid, show him how beautiful, how we remove our shoes. I'll never forget, not long ago, some years ago, we were in Mauritius with the family, and I needed to find the masjid. Yes, prior to that, we went there in the Jamaat and we saw so many masjids. So when we booked, we thought there must be a masjid nearby, but Allah's will, there wasn't a masjid nearby where we had booked. So it was a Thursday and I was worried about the Jumu'ah. So at 12 o'clock, I come out looking for a masjid. Can't find the masjid, and I see a man on the road, so I greet him. Uncle, how are you? My name is so-and-so. I'm from South Africa. What's your name? He says, my name is Babu. So I said to him, uncle, can you show me a masjid? He says, yeah, go this way, turn that way, you'll find the masjid. He says, I said to him, so you know what, I'm not from here, maybe you should take me there. He says, sure, I'll take you. You wouldn't mind the walk? I says, no problem. And we had a brisk walk, about 15, 20 minutes, and finally we get to the masjid. When we get there, along we had a nice conversation. He told me about Mauritius and this and that. He was a Hindu by religion. As we get to the masjid, he says, here's your masjid. So now I want to get him in the masjid. So I'm using a strategy. So I said to him, yes, okay, this is the masjid. Now what? So I want him to come with me. So that was a strategy. So he says, okay. Now because of hospitality, he wants to be hospitable. So he sees the shoes, like he says, okay, let's put our shoes here. And now we get in, and now I can see he's lost. He's never been into a masjid before. So I said to him, now don't worry. This is the place where we make wudu. Sit next to me. This is what we do. And I started, you know, softly explaining to him. Then we get into the masjid. We go into one corner. There was no one at the masjid, because by the time we got to the masjid, we had missed the dhuhr prayer. And I said to him, come, you stand here next to me. And this is how we pray. And you're welcome to join. And after we completed the prayer, I raised my hands and I make dua in English. And at the end, I gave him a tour of the masjid, that this is what the minbar is all about. This is, you know, how we pray. And we talk to Allah directly. And I showed him a translation of the Quran in French and in English. And we sat a little while. I took a few of his questions. And as we depart together, I noticed as we leave the masjid, this old man is sobbing. So I said to him, uncle, what is wrong? Did I offend you in any way? What is wrong? And I give him a hug. He says, no, no, you haven't offended me. It's just, this is an emotional moment for me. So I said, why? He said, this is the first time someone called me my brother. And it's the first time someone took me and showed me the beauty of the masjid. This is so amazing. The way I enjoy this experience. Anyway, we walked back to the hotel. So I said to him, uncle, when will you visit me again? He said, can I come? I said, yes. I said, come to the reception, dial this number, and we'll meet you at the reception. Can you come tomorrow? We'll go for Jumu'ah. And then we'll have some lunch together. He said, let me think. I have some, I'll try, but I have some errands tomorrow. Anyway, Friday, he didn't come. Saturday, I get a call. I come down. I arrange some coffees for myself and Uncle Babu. He says, you never told me, you never asked me why I came. I said, please tell me. He says, you know, I came to tell you that I want to be a Muslim. This is how people want the deen of Allah. But afford them the opportunity. They are scared. And shaitan enhances that fear that they have in them. Respected businessman, you have the opportunity. You meeting them. We are interacting with them. We have transactions with them. We associate with them through business, through our life. Let's invite them to Allah. We could be the means through which we can save them from hellfire. Hazrat Abu Bakr became the means of Hazrat Uthman's hidayah. And prior to that, it was his aunt. And then Hazrat Uthman proposed for Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded them. It is reported in history, أَحْسَنُ زَوْجَيْنِ رَآهُمَا إِنسَانِ رُقِيَّ وَزَوْجُهَا عُثْمَانِ. The most exceptional couple that anyone has ever seen is the bond of marriage between Ruqayya and Uthman. Hazrat Uthman was making so much of shukr that Utbah sent Hazrat Ruqayya back, because now Allah blessed him with the opportunity. And there's so many verses of poetry. Even Su'ada bint Quraiz, the aunt of Hazrat Uthman, when she saw this amazing couple, she rendered these words. She said, Hadallahu Uthmanan biqawli ila al-huda wa arshadahu wallahu yahdi ila al-haqqi fataba'a bil-ra'i sadidi muhammada wa kana bi-ra'in la yasuddu an al-sidqi wa ankahahu al-mab'uthu bil-haqqi bintahu fakana kabadrin ma zada al-shamsa fil-ufqi fida'uka yabna الهاشمين ومهجتي وأنت أمين الله أرسلت في الخلق. May Allah, Allah has guided Hazrat Uthman. And Su'ada, the aunt, says, Allah used me as a means. And Allah guided him to the truth. See, she's teaching us a lesson. You can give the da'wah, but Allah is the giver of hidayah. And by your da'wah, Allah can make you a means. I'm guiding somebody. Then he says, she says, Allah wedded him to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَكَانَا كَبَدْرٍ مَا زَجَ الشَّمْسَ فِي الْأُفْقِ. That amazing, beautiful relationship is like the emergence of the sun and the moon. That's how beautiful and amazing was the bond between this amazing couple. And from the early stages of Deen and Iman, they both made the greatest of sacrifices. And they went through so much. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them and encouraged them to go to Abyssinia. And then he encouraged them by saying that this is the first couple to migrate for Allah after Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and his family, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. Hazrat Khadija and Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed their daughter Hazrat Ruqayya and their son-in-law Hazrat Uthman. And they made amazing inroads in Abyssinia, striving for Allah, making ibadah for Allah, spreading the deen of Allah in Abyssinia. But they did miss the environs of the and the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Few months later, they did return because they heard news that matters became calm in Makkah, but it wasn't true. So they migrated again. And then before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hijrah to Medina Munawwara, years later, after doing lots of works for deen in Abyssinia, in Africa, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this is her speciality, she was the only one of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to migrate to Abyssinia. Now they return to Medina Munawwara, and they are among the early couples to migrate to Medina Munawwara. Allah blessed them with a son, Abdullah, but taqdeer ki baat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson passed away very young. He was badly injured by, it says, a duck, but it seems to be a goose. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. It was Allah's will that he passed on. Hazrat Uthman himself buried him. It was a very emotional occasion, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there for them and gave them du'as. And then Allahu Akbar, it was the occasion of Badr. And what happened there was Hazrat Uthman was getting ready to go, but Allah's Nabi said, your wife is very ill. So Hazrat Uthman stayed behind. But he was very, very emotional due to the sickness of his wife. And it happened simultaneously that Allah granted victory in Badr, and just thereafter, the blessed daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. It was such an emotional occasion for Hazrat Uthman burying his wife. The janaza salah was performed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Uthman's grief and sadness. That now his wife, who was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left this world. Allah's Nabi called him. He was so emotional because this was his bond with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a son-in-law like a son. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthman, you know what? I am going to wed you to someone who's also special, like Ruqayyah. Who is it, O Allah's Nabi? Allah's Nabi, because even that time, Hazrat Hafsa, radiallahu anha's father, Hazrat Umar, mentioned his daughter to Hazrat Uthman. But Hazrat Uthman remained silent. And afterwards he says, no, I can't. So Hazrat Umar felt offended. But Hazrat Uthman remained silent because he heard Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention Hazrat Hafsa for himself. And this is the amanat dari of Hazrat Uthman. He didn't say, no, I can't, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Hazrat Hafsa in confidence. So Hazrat Uthman was silent. This teaches us that we have to learn how to keep our mouths. Someone said something to us in privacy, in confidence. We have no right to mention it to anybody else. This is the teachings of Allah, Allah's deen. Study one of the last chapters of the Quran Kareem that starts with wail. This chapter highlights the harms of backbiting and slander. Allah save us. And carrying tales. Allah Ta'ala save us from this despicable ways of misusing our tongues. This tongue is deadly. The limb between the jaws and the limb between the thighs. These are deadly limbs. Allah save us from their harm. Anyway, thereafter, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded, he said, Allah will give Uthman better than Hafsa. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu wedded Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, the sister of Hazrat Hafsa. And Allahu Akbar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is the barakah of Allah ta'ala's deen. So this is a very, very pertinent event that happened in the month of Shawwal. Very importantly, Shawwal means in the Arabic language, the remainder. And what it would refer to is the remainder of the blessings of Ramadan. I encouraged also the six fasts of Shawwal and to continue with the a'mal of the month of Ramadan. And this is called istiqama. Istiqama. That's why in chapter 41 of the Quran Kareem, I would love one and all to see this chapter. Chapter 41, verses 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Read that entire passage. It starts with the discussion of a person who lives in this world with istiqama. He pleases Allah. He remains with istiqama. He remains firm on iman. He remains firm on deen till he leaves this world. Subhanallah, how the malaika accompany him, how the malaika are there for him in this worldly life, and how the malaika appear to him at the time of his death, reassuring him that Allah is there for you and we are your friends. There's nothing to fear in the forthcoming stages of the afterlife, and there's nothing to grieve over those you are leaving behind. And whatever you ask for now is granted to you. Now is your real life of pleasure. And then, interestingly, he's told, you are Allah's guest. Whatever you want is granted to you. Now no more efforts for you. You made your effort in this worldly life. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. But interestingly, respected Ummah, I want us to see the verse after this. Because the next verse, subhanAllah, answers a question. How are we to acquire this istiqamah? The next verse teaches us how we're going to bring this in our life. And the next verse brings 10 qualities. Our Hazrat Mufti Ridha al-Haq Sahib, Hafidhahullah, mentions it so beautifully. The 10 qualities of the da'i. When we bring these 10 qualities into us, Allah will give us this virtue of the company of the malaika in our life, and especially at the time of our death. And there's an amazing report, subhanAllah, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Ali would always encourage us to study the kitab of Allama Suyuti, Sharh al-Sudur. And there's a hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu there. And subhanAllah, make dua for the families of Newcastle, two wonderful youngsters, and from Petersburg as well, those youth. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for their parents. Allah make it easy for their families. Like we close to these families in Newcastle, and Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the families in Petersburg as well who've lost their children. Allah Ta'ala help us all connect to Him. Allah connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what will keep us strong in these times? We're fortunate to be Muslim. We have to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala who has made us Muslim. Imagine the non-Muslims and they lose their loved ones. It is doomed for the non-Muslims. At least we have deen, we have iman, and inshallah, we're going to meet our loved ones. But what keeps us strong in these times of difficulties is to connect to the Quran. Learn the Quran. Learn to read it correctly. Take out time for the Quran. But also we encourage you, read a translation of the Quran al-Kareem as well. And then also start at the same time reading a book on the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Maulana Idris Kandahlawi's Sirat Mustafa, or Salabi's history, which is translated in English as well. It's 3 volumes. Beautiful. Read the life of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will push us and pull us through all these difficulties and challenges in life. I was sharing this hadith from Allama Suyuti's kitab, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and his hadith, where a person leaves this world. And as they're coffining him, someone goes into his coffin. And when he's put alone in his grave and everyone departs, he sees this handsome person who refuses to leave him. And then the angels come to interrogate him. And this person doesn't go away. But the angels say, you have to depart from here. He says, I'll never leave him. And the angel, that this person says to him, you don't worry. Just answer these questions and everything after that is smooth sailing. But he says, who are you? You're so kind to me and I'm so comfortable in your presence and it's so enjoyable and so pleasurable. He says, don't worry, it'll just become better and better and I'll never leave you. You don't have to worry about anything. He says, but who are you? He says, don't you recognize me? He says, no, I don't. He says, you never ever left me night and day. I am the Quran al-Kareem. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq to connect to the Quran.
Ameen.
And make the message of Quran available to the whole world, Muslim and non-Muslim. Please, respected Ummah, share the message of Quran with the non-Muslims. This message is for the whole world. Sadly, we have hoarded it for ourselves. This is an injustice. Allah forgive us.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Sahib, for filling that bridge where we become so oblivious that people are searching for iman and that we need to present it to them as well. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.